South Korean news is headlining Operation Key Resolve, war games involving 13,000 US and South Korean soldiers. Every year, it's a time of tension. But this year, the North seems to be acting on its threats. A hotline between South and North rang unanswered today. And Pyongyang's state mouthpiece is warning the ceasefire that ended the Korean War is now invalid. A South Korean official reportedly told Parliament that unilateral cancellation isn't legally binding. Pyongyang's made that threat half a dozen times before. This time, the context is different.
The rhetoric is really always bellicose. What we're hearing now is just a change of degree and not kind.
Brian Myers is an expert on North Korean propaganda at Dongseo University in South Korea. He believes the new young leader, Kim Jong-un, is more military-focused than his father.
The problem, of course, is that the more Pyongyang threatens the United States and South Korea, the more it puts itself under pressure to do something. So I think it's very likely that North Korea will engage in some significant disruption of the peace this year, as it does every year.
So what does North Korea want? It wants a formal peace treaty with the US and more. The most recent insight came from the only American who spent substantial amounts of time with the North Korean leader. He's none other than the Worm, NBA star Dennis Rodman, who less than 2 weeks ago watched basketball in Pyongyang with his new best friend, Kim Jong-un.
I love him. I love the guy. He's awesome.
Speaking to ABC's George Stephanopoulos, he relayed a message from the North Korean leader.
He wants Obama to do one thing. Call him.
He wants a call from President Obama?
That's right. He told me that. He said, if you can, Dennis, I don't want to do war.
But Kim's bellicosity is limiting the options for response from the US or anyone else. South Korea's just inaugurated a new conservative president, Park Geun-hye. Her cabinet meets for the very first time today. She campaigned on a platform of leaving the door open to dialogue with the North, but that position is no longer tenable. Hem Chae-bong, the president of the Asan Institute in Seoul, says North Korea's made that clear.
It has very quickly and very assuredly slapped President Park Geun-hye's outreached hand. So she is now in an impossible position. She is not able to reach out to the North Koreans anymore, as her spokesmen are telling us that she is in an increasingly hardline mode when it comes to dealing with North Korea at this current stage.
On the streets of Seoul, nerves are being tested. Of course I'm scared, says Han Pyong-suk, a 59-year-old taxi driver. North Korea's provocations get more fierce as time goes by. But others see the threat as more of the same. Maybe I'm complacent, says 24-year-old Sang-hun Lee, but I don't foresee war. North Korea's traditional ally, China, is also undergoing a leadership transition. As its new leaders gather in the Great Hall of the People, Beijing seems to be recalibrating its position. The Chinese supported tougher UN sanctions against Pyongyang after its third nuclear test. Ian Bremmer, the president of the Eurasia Group, has been in Beijing. He says Chinese officials are increasingly frustrated.
The Chinese government has not yet developed working relations with Kim Jong-un. We've seen some reports from party officials in the international media talking about maybe China should cut off North Korea. I don't believe that that's intended for local Chinese consumption. I think it's because formal North Korean channels aren't working and they're trying to get the North Koreans' attention. They're very unsettled.
Meanwhile, on North Korean television, the bombast continues, with footage of Kim Jong-un visiting the frontline army unit that shelled the South 3 years ago, killing four people. Now, many observers are bracing themselves for the next North Korean provocation. The big question is just how serious will it be this time? Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.